We now have the Bible reading.
Thank you, Pastor. First Bible reading for this Sunday. Hear the word of God as it is written in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 to 15, on page 47, 46, and 46 it is. The burning bush. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the mist, flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I'll send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, and have sent you, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading for this morning is in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Beginning at verse 9 to 11, page 948. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep and those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Please rise for the gospel. Hear the gospel of the Lord as it is written in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28, which is on page 822 of the Pew Bible. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Just, no, it's all right, we're going. All right.
Thank you.
Bonnie, are we going out to prayer school?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just going to take my chair away. You didn't realise we had an exercise program in there.
That's your morning calisthenics.
Now you're all awake for the sermon too. That's good. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We pray for the children as that they go out, that they may learn more about you through their activities. Father, we ask for ourselves that you would open our eyes and ears to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning I want to continue on from last week, continuing to look at Moses. And last week we were looking at the baby Moses. And we also looked at some of the parallels, not equal parallels, but the parallels between Moses and Jesus. And we'll be continuing to look at those sort of parallels as we look at today. Today we move into chapter 3, but we have actually skipped over a bit of what happens in chapter 2 as well. And I thought, what are the a good way to get a bit of a summary of what's happened in these first three chapters is to actually go elsewhere in the Bible. Stephen. You may remember Stephen. He was one of the deacons. He's in fact the first recorded Christian who was killed for being a Christian, killed for his faith in Jesus. And as we read in Acts, and we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 7, and that's why I've got my tablet up, and I need to read the passage, I haven't memorized it. So. Stephen is arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, so he's basically on trial, and people have accused him of saying that Jesus is going to come back and destroy the temple. And others saying that he's preaching against Moses, he's preaching against the law. You know, basically he's a disruptive medicine, we need to get rid of him. And he's asked, "What do you have to say for yourself?" And in chapter 7 we have this beautiful, Luther calls it a sermon. It's his response. And he goes through, starting with Abraham, looking briefly at Isaac and Jacob, looking a bit closer at Joseph. And then he gets up to Moses. And let me read to you what he has to say in this section, which covers the first three chapters. Listen to Stephen. And so, this is Stephen talking. verse 18 of chapter 7. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him in and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon 2 Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had 2 sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get closer, look, he heard the Lord say, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now, come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses that they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was said to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself, through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. So that sums up the story. It's always good when we can use scripture to explain scripture, isn't it? And this also brings to bear one of the points I've been making, is that the Old and New Testament are connected, and that through what Jesus has done, we get new insights into the Old Testament. So, Stephen tells us that when Moses encounters the burning bush, he's how old?
80.
He's 40 when he kills the Egyptian, and then for 40 years later, he's 80. I often joke with friends, especially pastors who are in their 70s and retiring, pointing out that, you know, if they're going to follow in Moses' footsteps, they're still in the warm-up stage. It's 80 when you start the real work, and that goes on for another 40 years.
They're
120. That's right. But in this story, and I want to just refer back a bit to what happened at the end of chapter 2 that we heard in there. Moses, as a man, and Exodus doesn't tell us the ages there, that's what Stephen has told us, but Moses has been brought up in Pharaoh's court, hasn't he? He's learnt Egyptian ways. He was brought up by Pharaoh's daughter, which indicates he was quite well educated. He was probably quite fit. He's also learnt his Israelite heritage, because we're told that his mother was his wet nurse, and that it is likely that family connection continued in some form. And he sees some Israelites getting bashed up, basically, being treated abhorrently. And he steps in. And what does he do? He kills a man. There's a point there. Notice that the passage doesn't say, "And God told him to go," and it doesn't say any of that. It just says that He kills this man. Now, we don't know what's in Moses' head, but perhaps he sees himself as the saviour that his people needs. He's well educated, he's in the prime of his life, he will strike the first blow. It's starting to sound like an 80s action movie, isn't it? You know, here's this man that we've been waiting for, who's going to, by the power of his own fists, you know, solve Israel's problem. But is that the way God intended for things? Well, what happens? The next day, he's expecting applause, you know, to be respected. And he's disrespected, isn't he? And they basically said, who are you? You're going to kill us also. And then he goes away, basically, has a family. Stephen tells us that goes on for 40 years or so. It's all over, isn't it? The story's done. He must have been mistaken. Sometimes our lives can go in directions that we think it is all over. 30 years ago, I was a Baptist pastor. I thought that I was not only where God wanted me, but there was so much ahead that he wanted me to do. And 30 years ago, it all went horribly wrong. Karen and I, we had a one-year-old as well, not this one, the other one, found ourselves needing a new church. And we went along to the Lutheran Church. For many years, I personally felt that I was in a wilderness. I thought God had called me. I thought God had placed me where he wanted me. I had a hard time wrapping my head around what the heck God was doing. So 10 years ago, I was ordained as a Lutheran pastor. And now I've ended up here. It has taken me a long journey. God needs a lot of time. You may not be like me, but I tend to be pretty thick at times. And God, looking back, I can see what God is doing. As I go through it, I don't see it. And often, I'm trying to go this way, and God's trying to get me to go that way. And sometimes he has to be a bit rough with me to get me to get where he needs me to be. But as I look back, I can see what the Lord is doing. It doesn't mean that I don't have some regrets that I wasn't a bit smarter, my eyes weren't a bit wider open, that I could more clearly see back then what he was telling me to do. And so, as we look at this story of Moses, there's part of me that can relate to what's going on. Thankfully, it wasn't 40 years he made me wait. I didn't really want to become your pastor in the 80s, but I'm in my 80s, but 60s and 5. Moses thought it was all over, but that wasn't what God wanted. But it was what God wanted. He just needed more time to work on helping Moses become who he needed to become. One of the things we often forget is that it is God in control. It is God's church. It is God's kingdom. Yes, he wants to work through us and with us. But it's not our plan, it's his plan. With Moses, notice that it's not Moses up on this mountaintop seeking God. God might be the furthest thing from his mind at this time. God was something he thought about 40 years ago. And suddenly he encounters a burning bush. God has chosen him. He has not sought God. We saw that back with Abraham. Remember Abraham? God came and chose him because, well, nobody was given, just because God chose him. There's no reason given for God choosing Moses. This is who God's going to work. And we also saw, we mentioned this a bit last week, back at Moses' birth, we're told that God has seen the mistreatment of Israel and is going to do something about it. And now God starts, shall we say, more seriously doing something about it with this burning bush, telling Moses what he's going to do. But do recall, as Stephen pointed out, 80 years have gone by. God's timing is not our timing. Rarely is it our timing. Sometimes we expect something to take a long time and God will do it like that. Other times we're thinking, this will happen, and it may be generations before that comes to pass. But God is at work. The world is a much bigger and complex place than you and I understand, and God is God. Moses is chosen. Moses is sent. But notice that Moses has to ask, basically, who are you? Who do I say I'm coming? Whose authority am I under? And that's where we have that wonderful I am who I am, this God as I am, which is often referred to as Yahweh, or if you like the older English, Jehovah, which Hebrew scholars don't like. That name means I am, but that concept of it incorporates I was, I am, I will be, I'm active, I'm involved. And you even hear that in his dealing and helping with his people, the rescue for his people, you basically have God saying, I'm going to come down and get involved in this mess. Our God isn't a God who works at a distance. He gets involved. Moses is chosen. Moses is given the words and he's told to go back to his people. The story will develop, of course, but let's just have a bit of a closer look at this as it occurs, as we compare it to Jesus. Moses and Jesus are saviour figures, aren't they? We can see that Moses is a type of Jesus. We always go in that direction. And in fact, in Deuteronomy, near the end of Moses' life, he prophesies that there will come one like him. And in the years that pass, they're looking for one who is greater than Moses to come. But there are similarities as there are differences. And we saw that with the persecution as a baby. Jesus was persecuted as a baby, as Moses. We are told in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that he sent his only son. Jesus was sent by God, just like Moses. There's that sending. But note, that's when some of this difference starts to, or some of that similarity starts to fade. Moses didn't know who God was. Do we ever see that with Jesus? No, we see a connection with the Father that is unexplainable. Moses needed to know God's name. Which God? Who shall I say is sending me? We never see Jesus having a problem with this. If someone says, who sent you? How does he respond? The Father, my Father. My Father sent me. I'm here, I have my mission. Well, we know, if you remember the story of the burning bush, that Moses is about to start to make some excuses of why he can't do it. Would it be better to send someone else? And God eventually says, look, your big brother can go with you. Don't don't even start to think of how old Aaron must be. But your big brother can go with you and help you with this. Just go. We don't have that with Jesus, do we? He is born heading towards the cross. We heard in the gospel reading this morning that Peter tries to step in and get him off mission. Surely not you, Lord. And he rebukes Peter, but that's the will of Satan. Jesus knows his mission. He's following it. There's something else far different with Jesus as we read through the Gospels. Moses will come with God's authority. He will speak God's words. Jesus, yes, we're told, he is sent by the Father. We are told all authority has been given to him by the Father. But that authority is also now his. Unlike any Old Testament prophet, any Old Testament man of God, Jesus makes statements like, I say unto you. You have heard it said, but I say, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks with his own authority. In John's Gospel, Jesus likes to keep referring to himself in descriptions that start with, I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that continues on in resurrection. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is all reflecting back to the bush, the burning bush where God speaks to Moses and says, I am sent you. Tell them I am sent you. So in Jesus, dare I say, we don't just have a Moses figure, we've got the burning bush as well, don't we? We've got both the one who is sent and the one who sends together. He is far greater than Moses. He is unwavering. Yes, I know in the garden he will pray for another way. But I still see that as unwavering because he's not deciding to do something different. He's presenting it to his Father. He knows what is coming up. He asks God, is there any other way? There's not. So your will be done. He does the Father's will. Moses is like many of us. Yes, I would argue Moses is far greater than many of us. But Moses has his doubts. Don't you find that at times? That you don't know what God is doing. Jesus never had that problem. He knew God's plan all the time. But we don't. We have questions. Why is God doing this? Why does he allow that? We go off the path. One of the things I cherish each week in church is when we come together and we confess our sins, because we all know that we have messed up in our words, in our deeds, by what we have said and what we have not said, what we've done, what we have not done. But not Jesus. Jesus is the one who lived that life that we failed to live. He died for our sins. The Father raised him from the dead. And when we put our trust in him, when we turn away from our mistakes, we have forgiveness. It doesn't matter that it may be decades ago you were on fire for Jesus. Like Moses, you can see that burning bush again. That burning bush of God isn't, you know, some shrubbery that's caught on fire. That burning bush of God is now within you. Through your baptism, you have received the Holy Spirit. The I am is within you. You have to open yourself Listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow where he leads you. You may not be leading thousands upon thousands of people out of Egypt. That may not be what God is calling you. Particularly down there. You may not be leading thousands and thousands of people out of aspirants. But God's plan for each one of us is there. He wants you as part of his kingdom. He wants to work through you. And through the Holy Spirit, he will give you what you need to be that instrument. Whether you're 5 years old or 95 years old, God has worked for you. Not that he's going to leave you to do it by himself. Just as Moses wasn't going to do this by himself. God is going with him. God is with you. He doesn't want you to sit back and just be observers. He is with you. He will never leave you. In conclusion, the burning bush was a pale reflection of who God is. But in Jesus, we have God's full revelation, don't we? In Jesus, we have someone not just mightier than Moses, but mightier than that burning bush. We have God with us. He is with us. Never forget that though he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, he will never leave us. And shortly, we will partake of his body and blood to keep reminding us that he is with us. He has done all the work. But he wants to work in us and through us, through the Spirit, so that we better love God and love our neighbor. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As we have our next song, your